Stand this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, last three verses in that chapter, 14, 15, and 16, and chapter 3, 1, 2, 3. We're talking about three different groups of people or three different types of people that's here this day. You are natural, you are spiritual, or you are carnal. You have to be in one of those three groups. Natural, spiritual, or carnal. Old Vance Habner used to say most of the time of the average church is so subnormal, if we ever become normal, people would think we abnormal. And I think he had it nailed pretty well. This tells us about the three types of people. The Bible, in these verses that we're going to explain to you, the Bible is a mirror and it also a road map. A road map. Are you a Bible-believing Christian? The devil do not like Bible-believing Christians, but we need our Bibles. There's some good places for your Bibles. I hope you have a Bible in your home. I hope you bring your Bibles to church. I hope we have Bibles in the church. I hope you this morning have a Bible in your hand. I hope you have a Bible in your head. The most place and the greatest place that you might have a Bible would be in your heart. That is the greatest place for your Bible, is in your heart. I hope that you brought your Bibles to church with you this morning. I hope you open your Bible every time that you're in service. But it's more important that the Bible brings you to church. As we read these verses of scriptures, I hope that you will find what class of people that you're in this day, because you need to take inventory of your life. These verses of scriptures are not here just for us to think about, they're here for us to understand and to see ourselves. The Bible is a mirror, the Bible is a road map. Verse 14 of chapter 2 is 1 Corinthians. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereunto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envy and strife and division, ye are not carnal and walk as you are yet carnal and walk as men. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we thank you as we approach the Word of God, as we assemble ourselves together here in this building, the God that you have furnished for us. Father, we just pray, God, that our praise be centered up to you. Our prayers, Father, will be the prayers, Lord, of your people, O God, Father, that might glorify your name in everything that we ask, even for those that we have on our prayer list and also the ones we have in the prayer box under the altar. And for those who are here this day, Father, my prayers will be today that they might really see themselves in the condition that we really are. That's exactly what the Word of God does for us. That's what the Spirit of God helps us to understand, the condition that we're really in. I hope that you have, God, here this day, the people, Lord, has come, no other than just to serve you and worship you and praise you as our Lord and Savior. And I know that you're going to work this day, and we thank you, God, for the working power of the Spirit of God. And all these many blessings we ask you in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. As I said, there's three classes of people in this building right now. I don't know who you are. It's for you to take the inventory. We know that we're approaching the end of the year, as we usually do, and businesses and factories take inventory of their last year time for inventory. They're doing that now. But it's also that we ought to take inventory now of this past year ourselves, have our spiritual inventory, and see this condition that we're in. It's very, very important for you to know what class you're in today. As I said, every one of us are in one of these three classes. And I hope that you can identify with this. Take the inventory and classify yourself today. I hope and pray that this message might help you identify yourself and see what class of people that you're really in. Now, you can never become what you really ought to be until, first of all, you understand where you are. Do you want to be a spiritual person this day? Well, you can never be a spiritual person this day until you understand exactly where you are. Now, I know that you've been in hospitals. I go to St. Vincent Hospital a lot and Baptist a lot, and there are other big hospitals. And if you go up most of the time to the welcome station, there'll be a little map there at the hospital, and it'll have a little line and a little arrow, and it says, you are here. Well, that helps me a lot to know where I'm at. Now, I know most of you have been on vacation, and as you travel through state by state, every state just about on the interstate highways that I've ever saw, ever been through, as you go into the welcome station, they'll have a map of that station, that state that you're entering into. As you go into that welcome station, you look at that map, you'll have a little dot. Maybe it'd be a red dot. It'd be something that verifies it says, you are here. Well, that's great help because all the maps in the world could not help you find your way around if you did not know where you was at. It does no good whatsoever for me to have a Georgia map if I'm lost and I don't know where I'm at. The map will not help me. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God we have here. It helps us to know where you're at. And how are we going to get to where we are, to where we need to be, is find out first, where are you? Where are you this day? Now, the purpose of this message here today, as I studied on this, is very important on God's map to find out, where are you? The first question in the Word of God and the first question to a man on the face of this earth was in the Garden of Eden. And guess what that question was? The same thing I just asked you. Adam, where art you? That's the question that you need to answer today. Where are you at? Are you a spiritual man, spiritual person, born, headed for heaven, no doubt about it? Are you a natural person? And I'll explain these. Just a natural person, been born one time, and I can assure you one thing, you're on your way to hell if you've just been born one time. Are you a carnal person? It tells us in the Bible, a natural man described in these verses of Scripture here is doing what comes natural. Did you know all the people have to do to go to hell is just act natural? Don't have to rob anybody. Don't have to kill anybody. You don't have to steal anything. You don't have to cuss. You don't have to get drunk. All you have to do to go to hell, the natural man, the natural person, is just act natural. You've been born one time. You're born into this natural world. That's all that you have to do. Some people think you got to do something bad. All you have to do is just act natural. Now, a spiritual person is identified in these verses of Scriptures is doing what comes supernatural. If you've been born again and you are a spiritual person here this morning, you are operating under a supernatural ability. Supernatural, that's what you are. Now, a carnal person today, identified in these verses of Scriptures, doing what comes unnatural. Did y'all get that? They're doing what comes unnatural. You're living unnatural. Spirit person is supernatural. A natural person is just living naturally. Spiritual person is living supernatural. But a carnal person is living unnatural. I want you to get these three to identify yourself this morning. Now, let's just take for just a moment this natural person. That is a lost person. That's a person that's just been born one time, a physical birth. Verse 14, but the natural man, the lost man, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. Well, to start with, this natural man, this natural person, is born into a natural world, the first birth. Now, every one of us starts out this way. Have you been born one time here this morning? Some of you are not sure, I know. You do like this, a physical birth, that's the first birth, by nature. Now, by nature, you know what nature done to you? It formed you in your mother's womb. By nature, you was formed. But as soon as you was born, you know what this world started doing? It's deforming you. Did y'all know that? Well, what education does for you, and I'm not knocking education, but it informs you. By man's around us today, they reform us. Only Jesus Christ can transform you. Only Jesus Christ can transform you. I cannot do it. The church cannot do it. It's only Jesus Christ can transform you. Many people this day, and I watch television, very intellectual people, PhD, policemen, doctors, butcher, baker, or candlestick maker, it does not make any difference. Without the new birth, they are a natural person, just a natural man, been born one time. If you are sitting in this building this hour and you are a natural person, just been born one time, you say, well, what a blessing. It's a blessing to be born one time. Well, I was lucky I was born one time. If you stay in that condition, Jesus Christ, by the words of his lips, said about Judas, and he'd be saying this about you. Of Judas, it was better for that man that he had never been born. I want to assure you of this one thing. You're sitting here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ. You've been born one time. If you remain in that condition and not born again, there will come a day, sir, ma'am, that you had wished that you was never been born, where the fire dieth not. Out of darkness away from God. If you're a natural person this day, you can move out of that natural person into a spiritual person this day. If you remain as a natural person, oh, it's going to be terrible one of these days. If you have never been born but one time. That is a natural person. He's born into this natural world. You can't help it. That's the way we come into this world. But the natural person is also blinded by the natural world. He's blinded by the spiritual world also. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. As we see this, he cannot appreciate the spiritual things. He cannot receive them. You cannot receive them here this day. He is not appreciate the spiritual things of God that's around this day. It's in this building. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, that word receive is the same word means welcome. When someone comes to your house, do you welcome them in, make them feel at home? That's the word receive means to welcome. But it says in this verse of Scripture, that man receiveth not. He does not welcome that person in the house. He do not welcome the things of God. The natural man do not welcome the things of God. Receiveth a person into your house. Welcome not the things of God. Welcome not the house of God. He welcomes not the people of God. They're not having no part with him. Welcome not the fellowship with God means absolutely nothing to them whatsoever. The people is just natural. Do you hear what other people hear? You got ears here today. I believe everybody in this building hears my voice this hour. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm talking about your nature that you're lost. And you need to be born again. And the only way you can be born again is understand that you are lost, doomed, dying, sinner, on the way to hell. And the only thing you can do is throw your mercy on Jesus Christ, accept what he done on Calvary's cross. And he says, I will forgive your sins, I will save you, and I will come in your heart, and I will be your Savior to you. That's what you got to understand today. Do you have the ears to understand that? People that have the ear don't understand. They don't have the appreciation of things of God. Yeah, I hear what you say, but I do not hear them with my spiritual ear. I hear them just with my physical ear this day. They don't appreciate the things of God. No apprehension for the things of God. He cannot know them. It says the first thing, he cannot know them. What's that preacher talking about? What am I supposed to do? Be good? Try to do something good? All your goodness are filthy rags in God's sight. You cannot quit anything that you're doing to make you more like Jesus Christ. I know what I'm doing. I'm drinking beer. I know what I'll do. I'll quit drinking beer and I'll be more like Jesus Christ. No, you won't. I quit cussing. I quit smoking. I quit going to places I ought to go and I'll be more like Jesus Christ. No, you won't. It's not what you quit doing. It's who you accept. It's who you accept. You see, whenever you accept Jesus Christ, you won't have to worry about doing those things that you're trying to quit now. Did you know what? I get drunk every time I want to. I drink all the beer I want to. I hope you don't edify this and put this on the news. You know why? I don't want to. It's no problem to me because I don't want to. Someone said, man, if I believe in eternal security, once saved, always saved, I go out and sin all I wanted to. Well, I'll tell you something else. I sin all I want to. In fact, of a matter, I sin more than I want to. I sin more than I want to. The man have no appreciation, a lost person, the natural man have no appreciation. He says, cannot know them. He can't figure it out. What's he talking about? Why do these people give up their Sunday and go and sit in the house of God? Why do they give their hard-earned money? Why do they work all week long and then come and sit in a place like this? Why do they bring their children on Wednesday night? Why do they make sure their children are there on Sunday night? Why do they bring their children on to Sunday school? Why do they do this? A natural man can't understand why in the world would anybody want to bring their little ones to the house of God on a Wednesday night when it's cold and rainy, and they bring their kids on Wednesday night and never miss a Wednesday night. Why do they bring their children on Sunday school, for letting them learn the things of God? Why do they bring their kids on Sunday night, never miss a Sunday night? Why do they do this? The natural man cannot understand this, because it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, listen to what it says. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's the natural man cannot understand these things that God prepared. Why do we do the things we do? Oh, the natural man cannot understand this. It says there in verse 10 of that chapter, but God had revealed them unto us. Why? Because you know it's beneficial to make sure that your child never misses a Wednesday night. You know it's beneficial the child never misses a Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night. You know it's beneficial because they need all the help they can get in this life. It says God has revealed this to us. It's more important they come to the house of God than just go to a schoolhouse. People get worried sometimes their kids might miss a few days of school and get behind. I'm going to tell you what, when you miss a few days at the house of God, they're going to get further behind than they ever thought about in a schoolhouse. He says that the word of God got to reveal them to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Eyes cannot see. You got eyes, but you cannot see. Ears, but you cannot hear. You cannot apprehend or comprehend the things of God. You don't have the right tune. In this place today, there are all type of sound waves. If you had an AM radio, you could turn on an AM radio and you could pick up an AM station. All around be AM music. That's called American music, AM. But you couldn't pick up FM music. You had to have a FM radio. If you had an FM radio, then you could listen to the Father's music. But you don't have the right receiver. If you're a natural person, you do not have the right receiver to receive the things of God that's going on in this building right now. The praise and worship of these songs. These little kids that come up here. You do not have the right antenna to get the right music of your ears. Spiritual messages rolls off people like a duck back. They come in here and they leave the same way they come in. A natural man. John chapter 8, verse 47 tells us very plainly, he that is God heareth God's word. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye Therefore, hear them not, because you are not of God. That is as simple as the Word of God can make it. That's as simple as the Holy Spirit of God can pen it. You're of God. You hear God's Word. If you don't hear God's Word, you're not of God. It don't do you any good. You hear these words, and every one of you hear with your ears, but you don't hear with your spiritual ears, and it's going to make no difference to you next week. You're going to go out the way you come in. It's going to make no difference to you whatsoever. The natural person is also bound to this material world. You're bound to this material world. No capacity for fellowship with God or God's people. Don't matter. Motto is, I'm going through this world one time. Get all the gusto you can. Self-gratification. Self-preservation. Do everything you can. A person, don't blame a natural person. Don't blame a lost person for what they do. They're acting natural. They're just acting like they're supposed to act. They can't act any other way. They can't do any other way. They only have one spirit. That's the spirit of man. They don't have the spirit of God. That's the reason they do what they do. A lot of people think they're saved when they're not saved. They have it in their head, but they don't have it in their heart. Well, let's just move on and see what it says about a spiritual person. Are you a carnal person this morning? If you're here today and you're just a natural man, spiritual man, or a carnal man, person that is. If you're a natural person, you can move out of that natural person to be a spiritual person. A spiritual person, now, is what he does supernatural. It comes just supernatural then, verse 15. As it says, supernatural. But he that is spiritual judges all things. I mean, you're supernatural what you do, because he lives by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. In chapter 2 and verse 12, I didn't read that. But it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, that is the natural world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Things, excuse me, things, he said, given of God, things that, you know, you can't get in a schoolhouse and you can't get in a college. These things, he said, is taught to us by God, and they're freely given to us. Greater is he that knows the things of God, who have received of the Spirit of God. Listen, Christianity is not something that you believe. It's someone that you have received. It's someone you have received. It's not a creed. It's not a church. It's not a law. It's a person receiving Jesus. It's someone that you have received. It's a new life. It is a divine invasion of your life. Talking about outer space. We have received, it said, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, a spiritual person. The hope of glory in you. What's the hope of glory? That one day that Jesus Christ will come back and he will receive us to himself. And it says, you know where he'll be, we'll be there also. Either in the rapture or go through the grave. Spiritual man lives by the Spirit. Verse 12 again, we have received the Spirit of God. That means that we are a new creation. We are a new creature in God, a new creation. The spiritual man also learns from the Spirit of God. In that chapter 2 and verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now he's saying we learn because of the Spirit of God. Not by man's wisdom, by the Holy Spirit teaching today. You see, because we do not come to God with our head. You come to God with your heart. This is the wisdom of God, is in the heart. A lot of people come, they think they come to God with their head knowledge. You don't come with a head knowledge, you come with a heart knowledge. It's the heart that changes you. That's the reason there's so many people mixed up today. I hope you identify yourself today. The Holy Spirit's helping you right now. Let you know if you are a natural man or a natural person. Are you a spiritual person? Are you a carnal person? You know, my job is just preach the words. The Holy Spirit's job to convict you. I cannot convict you this morning. I don't know anything about you. I don't know how many people here are saved, how many is lost, how many is carnal, how many is spiritual. I don't know that. That's not my job. But the Holy Spirit of God knows every one of us exactly the shape that we're in. And he's the one that's pointing the finger to you, and every part in your heart and your life is not right with God. Doing, if you're obeying God like you're supposed to be, you claim to be saved. Are you obeying the Spirit of God and the Word of God like you're supposed to be? If you're doing that, you're a spirit man. But if you're not, you're just an old carnal person, in which we're fixing to get into that. A spiritual man learns from the Spirit of God, not by man's wisdom. Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed. They need to be a balance, Paul says, a balance. And there's a difference between a spirituality and maturity. There's a difference between spirituality and maturity. You can be spiritual instantly, right now. Everybody in this building can be spiritual instantly before you walk out of here. But you cannot be mature instantly. It takes 40 years to grow an oak tree. It takes a while to be mature. You don't get that instantly. Paul warns about that. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Here's what it says about that. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Nothing wrong with the preaching. I really don't believe there's anything wrong with my preaching this morning. But as old Paul was preaching here through the Hebrews, well, I believe he wrote Hebrews, there was something wrong with the hearing. He was preaching the truth. For the time you ought to be teachers, some of you ought to be teachers, he said, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as having need of milk and of not strong meat. You ought to be grown up as long as you've been saved, Paul says. And you ought to be on hard meat, and I ought not have to teach you. You ought to be teaching somebody else. Verse 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Do not understand the being a teacher, being a leadership that should be here when you ought to be here. Don't y'all believe that? Don't you believe all of our teachers and all of our leaders of this church ought to be at the house of God? Don't y'all believe that? Well, say amen if you believe it. Paul says you ought to be a teacher. But here you are drinking skim milk and not having a steak. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age. You know where you ought to be, and you're going to be where you ought to be. You and your household. It's even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You check it out and you know. Now it says there, 14, dull of hearing. Nothing wrong with that. Certain things that you can never develop until you use them. Did y'all know that? There are certain things that you'll never develop as a child of God until you use them. Those, it says there in 14 again, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised discerning good and evil. You've got to exercise them. 1 Timothy 3 and 6 it says, not a novelist, lest lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. That means just because somebody really gets on fire for the Lord for a little while, you don't set them up to be a teacher, you don't set them up to be a deacon, and you don't call them to be a pastor. You need to wait a while. You need to see. He tells about this. There's no shortcut to maturity. And see if they're ready yet. A novelist is talking about. Somebody real soon set them up, you know, and a lot of times what this happened because, you see, they can't stand the pride and the pressure, and they go down the road, and before long, you know what, they're not coming to church like they ought to. They might be in a teacher position, but they're not bringing their kids to the house of God. They're not leaders anymore. He warns about this. Spiritual person is liberated by the Spirit of God. He that is spiritual judges all things, yea, he himself is judged of no man. What's it talking about? He says, he that spiritual judges all things. Judgment here means discern. It's a legal term. It's what a lawyer uses when he looks at all the evidence and he makes a certain judgment called evidence. He said, now he that has spiritual judges all things, he takes all the evidence. Now, if you're a spiritual person here today, you're going to take the evidence of this situation that you're in. And you're going to judge this. And you're going to judge this because you're going to take all the evidence you can get by the Word of God and you're going to make certain judgment. And you're liberated by the Spirit. How this happened. You remember Moses, when he took all the evidence, he says Moses esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. He took the evidence. He esteemed this. He discerned this. He took all the evidence of all the riches of Egypt. Now that was a lot of riches. He was in number one position, really. He could have everything at his fingertips. But you see, by the Spirit of God, he saw things down the road. And he took all the evidence of what Egypt could offer him and what Jesus Christ could offer him. And he made a judgment. And he made the right judgment because he was spiritual. And you, my friend, is the same way. He discerned all the evidence by the Holy Spirit of God. He saw the difference. He himself, it says, is judged of no man. What does that mean? He himself, it means that people are not going to criticize you. Yes, they're going to criticize you more forevermore. But it means him himself is understood by no natural man, no natural person. He himself is judged of no man. He himself is understood by no natural person, unsaved person. They don't understand us. The world don't understand Christians. We're supernatural. They're natural. They don't understand us. They don't understand why that we come to church. They don't understand, again, why that your kids are in Sunday school on Sunday morning. They don't understand why a mother would get up of a morning and get their kids to Sunday school and never miss a Wednesday night for their kids. The natural people cannot understand this. What is real wrong with them? Sometimes your wife won't understand the husband. Sometimes the husband won't understand the wife if they two in that family, one's lost and one's saved. You can't make them understand it. They'll never understand it. They don't have the right frequency. They're not on the right channel. Your husband will never understand it, lady, if he's lost and you're saved. Another way around. There's two people in that family. They can't understand how you think. You want to give your tithes to the Lord, and they say, well, let's hold it and save it for a car. They don't understand giving. They don't understand tithing. They don't understand coming. They don't know why people come to church when they ought to be somewhere else. Why are you here this morning? They never understand this. Well, let's talk about this old carnal person. Natural, supernatural, spiritual. How about this carnal person? He does what comes is unnatural. That means a saved person has just got enough of supernatural to make him miserable in the unnatural. Person sitting here this morning and you're unnatural. Oh, I'm going to heaven. Yes, sir. I accept the Jesus Christ and you may be saved. I don't know. But I know one thing. You sitting here today and no doubt in my mind, and I don't know who you are, but no doubt in my mind there's a person here today. It's carnal. It's carnal. Read verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envy and strife, division. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, you're deformed. To start with, we see a carnal person is deformed. Not only that, they are unnatural and they are defeated in this life. Unnatural. They're not coming to church. Why? They're deformed and they're just an unnatural person. Well, they have no fellowship with others. Do you tithe? Do you pay? Do you read? They're just carnal Christians. You're abnormal. If you're saved, you're abnormal. You're abnormal. You're subnormal. You're unnatural. It's good to see a little baby born in this world saying, Dada, Mama. But whenever that child gets to about 16 years old, and it's still saying, Mama and Dada, something's terrible wrong. There's something terrible wrong with a carnal person. A lot of it is, I believe they're just a natural person. They're not carnal. But God has to do the judging, not me. A carnal person, subnormal. They're spiritual deformed. They're spiritually deformed. You are a spiritually deformed this morning if you're carnal. If you're saved, you know exactly the who I'm talking to. You're deformed. You're unnatural. You're not natural what God has called you to be. And I'm going to tell you everything that God has called to be, if it's not doing what God's called it to do, there's something wrong. I have a pen here. If that pen, what it's supposed to do is write. If it won't write, I might as well throw it away. It's no good whatsoever. I have a television. I turn it on. If it won't play, I'm going to get rid of it. I have a flashlight. It won't burn. I'm going to throw it away. You are so deformed, you're no use for God. You're not doing what God's called you to do. You're not doing what God made you to do, made you for. spiritually deformed. Verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now. You ought to be, as long as you've been saved, you ought to be teaching school, but yet you have someone to teach you. That's what it says. The first three things are three classes here for a carnal person. Start with, a person has to be fed. Every one of us, born again, start with, we have to be fed. That's like you feed a little baby. But after you start growing, you know what? You have to learn to feed yourself. Every child of God, every person in this building, I help you feed yourself, but you need to go home and feed yourself. I can't do all the feeding. If you're just going to come here on Sunday morning once in a while and expect to grow in the Lord, you're not going to grow in the Lord. You're not going to come until you're a Christian. But I'm going to tell you what it takes, reading and studying of your own self. Don't ever say, well, the preacher's not feeding me. It ain't my place to feed you, as long as you've been saved. Get in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Get into Sunday school. Get a discussion going in your Sunday school. Invite other people to help you. There will come a time when you need to feed yourself. You're immature. You're deformed. You won't come. You won't pray. You won't read. What do you expect anyway? The next class, you know what? You ought to be able to feed others. You need to be fed to start with. You're a child of God. You're a babe in Christ. You need to be fed to start with, show you what to do. And then after a while, you know what? You need to start feeding yourself. The baby does that same thing. And then what? After a while, you grow up, you get kids of your own, and then you start feeding someone else. Well, whenever you bring someone else to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you start helping them get fed. That's the three steps that you ought to be as a Christian. Who are you feeding? Who you invited to Christ? Who have you lay awake at night and cried because they wasn't saved and you went and knocked on their door? How many people this week did you knock on the door and invite them to come to the house of God they might get saved this week? You ought to be feeding somebody, and you feed them with the Word of God. You know, carnal man, they're just dependent on someone else, but also they're divisive also. Do you see what it says there in verse 3? You're yet carnal, wherein among you there's envy and there's strife and division. All this bickering back to you, never satisfied. You can always find fault when you come to church. You can always find fault, can't you? I'm going to tell you, don't take much. You can criticize me. Don't take much to find fault with me. It don't take fault to find much for this church. I'm telling you, we're not perfect. If you're looking for some reason to find a fault and be dissatisfied of being here, you can find it. It's not hard. You're carnal. Somebody sitting right by you may get a great blessing of the Lord by being here. Here you are finding fault. I don't like what he said. We'll take it up with the Lord. You're carnal. Now, asking you this question, where art thou? God asked Adam. Are you a spiritual person here this morning? Are you a natural person? That means lost, and you're not saved. But you'd like to move out of this condition of being a natural person into a spiritual person. You can do that instantly. It comes just like this. But I said, you know, maturity comes slow. But I'm going to tell you what, you can be a spiritual person just like that. Just a breath away. Just a word to Jesus Christ and you can be saved. You become a spiritual person. And it's the same way of being a carnal person. You can move out of that carnal condition and give Jesus Christ your all. Say, Lord, I know where I'm at. I am a carnal person. I have not obeyed God. I have not supported my church. I have not supported what I should do. You can make it right now. You can move out of your position as a carnal person because Jesus Christ is like this. If you'll come to me, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he says, is faithful. Not you. He is faithful. To do what? To forgive you for all your carnality, forgive you for all your disobedience, forgive you the position that you're in right now, and bring you into a spiritual relationship with him this day and be a spiritual person before you walk out of here. No matter what you've done, no matter how you've lived, there's not a person in here this day that's lived the perfect life. There's probably not a person in here today, including myself, that I shouldn't plead that verse of Scripture, 1 John 1:9. Lord, I want to confess. You know what that means? I hadn't been everything I should be in this past week. Have you been everything that you should be in this past week? Have you been everything that you should have been just yesterday? Confessing. Then he says, okay, if you come to me and confess that, he says, I'll forgive you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ will forgive you if you ask him? And be sincere with him. Now, you can move out of being a natural person. You can move out being a carnal person. And we can all leave here this day, every one of us, being a spiritual person. As you come with a song or invitation, it's very easy to do this. All you have to do is admit the condition that you're in. As I said, I don't know. You're here today and you're not saved. You've never been saved. As Jesus said, it will come a time, O Judas, that that man had wished that he was never born. Now, who could have forgiven Judas? Judas betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss. He's the one who betrayed Jesus Christ. But you know, God, Jesus Christ would forgive him for that. He's the one that led those people to Jesus Christ to take him to Pilate's hall. But Jesus Christ would forgive Judas. Judas, now's your chance. I will forgive you. After he had kissed Jesus Christ, Judas, I will forgive you. Just because Jesus done all that, Jesus Christ would forgive him for everything he had ever done. But he would not. And there in hell, for over 2,000 years, Judas has been burning for 2,000 years. I wished I'd never been born. I wished I'd never been born. I wished I'd never been born. He'll never get out of that fire that burns for eternity. And you, my friend, here this day, if you have that lost nature today, have been born one time, and you go to hell exactly the shape that you're in, you'd wish that you had never been born. Jesus Christ said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And he's opened his arms right now. And you that are carnal can walk out of that carnality into the arms of Jesus Christ, because it's to a person you're coming this hour as we stand and sing our invitation.